messages. And actually, I kind of messed the title up when I sent it on. I noticed it last night. You'll probably see it. It says nothing is impossible, but it should have actually said nothing is impossible with God. And I noticed when I emailed that I didn't have with God. And then I also noticed that, well, I changed it once again because there's some verses I wanted to throw in there as well. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 1. Starting, I have 8 through 37, but we're probably going to start at 5 through 39 or 38. And then we're just going to kind of go over that and look at it as an overview because there's so much information in there. But I just wanted to kind of pull that out. But before we get there, what do you get when you cross a Christmas tree and an apple? Pineapples. Good, you guys are getting good. Why are Christmas trees bad at sowing? They're always dropping their needles. We got a Christmas tree this year. And every time you go under the tree to water it, it's one of those trees that all the needles, every time, by the time we're done, it's going to be like this Charlie Brown tree with no needles. So it's one of those trees. What do you get when Santa claps his hands? Santa applause. Applause. Okay. Yep. So anyway, and then I always like to have a little bit of story what happened to me this week. And this week I was redoing, Jen's been gathering all the kids' old toys they're not here. And for the grandkids, right, to pass on some of the toys. I think she's just cleaning out the attic, get these things out of here. But it's going to some, so I was fixing some toys. And there was one, she said, it's cracked. Jeff, can you put super glue on it? I fixed one before. And I ended up in a sticky situation. Okay. I thought of that because we had these books that we used to read the kids, and it was called Sticky Situations. And it would go over this, like, current topics and what you're stuck in this situation. What do you do as a believer, right? But I was in this true sticky situation because I always tell the kids when you're using super glue, don't get it on your fingers. Well, I used Gorilla Glue, okay? And evidently when you puncture the Gorilla Glue, I was holding it from the bottom. It wasn't working, so I put more pressure on it. Well, pressure and then a puncture leads to what? An explosion. And I had Gorilla Glue all over my fingers. And I went to wash it off quick, and I had to sand my fingers off to get this stuff off of my fingers. So anyway, that's what happened to me this week. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this story today that we're reading, just of the glory of heaven, the glory of you, how this has all taken place at the beginning when the angels came and we looked at this time of the season and just know how much you love us. Lord, speak to us this morning. Help us to apply what we read in scripture to our life. Help us to reach and reach our neighbors and our family and talk to others about your name and your love and what you can do for us as people. In your name we pray, amen. Luke chapter 1. We're going to read through this. I'm actually going to start in verse 5, and we're going to go from 5 to 38. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we're going to break it down. There's a lot in here, and as I started reading, I was going over it, the Lord showed me some stuff I've never seen before, and when that happens, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. How come I never saw this before? So, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priest division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Remember, that was the Old Testament. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. After this, his wife became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, we just read about, is going to have a child old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said.' Then the angel left her." A lot of reading. Now I'm going to break that down, because when I was reading this, I couldn't stop. Like, I wanted to do a section about just Gabriel coming foretelling about John the Baptist. And I was like, well, then I kept reading. I'm like, I can't leave this part out, and I can't leave this part. So we kind of doing this overview. And then actually in January, after I started reading this, I was like, okay, you know, we're In January, we're going to start doing a series on John the Baptist. We're going to pull that out and look at John the Baptist. So what we do know, priest named Zechariah, and Zechariah was from the line of the priesthood, and he was in the temple, and the angel came. If you look at it, so the angel said, God has heard your prayers. Your prayer has been heard. So Zechariah and Elizabeth were praying for a son. We knew how important children were in the time for Israel and for the Israeli people. And to be barren in that time was looked down upon. So Zechariah and Elizabeth in the priesthood, well, Zechariah was in the priesthood, and the angel shows himself to him. And he says, hey, God has heard your prayer. And Gabriel said, he stands in the presence of God. That's one of a statement that I want to look at. Gabriel, the angel, when he was questioned by Zechariah, didn't say, hi, angel, I humble myself before you. The angel of God, Gabriel, put himself down to this, the power that he had, an angel, one of the most powerful angels. He said, how do you know this is true? Where's your power from? I stand in the presence of God. His whole existence, his whole power, his whole everything was from a being, an angel, who just stands. So his whole classification was, I stand in the presence of God. And when I started thinking about that, if you think about that, the presence of God, like, how does that look from the angel world, right? Because I've never been there. I can't wait to see it. I'll wait to see it, but I can't wait to see it at the same time. Because when you think about the presence of God, so there's this mighty angel, Gabriel, who bases his whole existence and his whole power and his whole everything as a being of, I stand in the presence of God. To me, that's pretty amazing when you think about that, because we have another angel, right, which was Satan, who, from not being humble and prideful, said, hey, I can be just as good as God. And then you have Gabriel, who comes with this message, and he said, how do you know? Because I stand in the presence of God. So I thought that was one thing that I looked at. And then what we see there is Zechariah then starts to question the angel. And then I looked at this. So this is kind of the overview right here. What was the difference with Zechariah, who questioned the angel Gabriel and loses his speech because he didn't have faith? And he comes out and he can't talk. And I was thinking, well, is this? And then I start thinking, is this like the first time they use sign language? Because that all of a sudden, what was he saying? If you imagine that, what in the world was going on in there? And then he comes out and then he can't speak for months. And then he wrote down and everything else. What's the difference there where Zechariah then was made silent? And then you look at Mary. Mary also met with who? Met with Gabriel. Gabriel showed himself to Mary. And Gabriel said, nothing is impossible with God. But Mary, when Mary said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I've never been with a man. How can I have a child? It's like, it's never happened before and it'll never happen again. And she questioned as well, but did Mary lose her voice? Was she silent? Because they both asked questions. One question was coming from an old man who has embattled life, that was in the priesthood, that understood the full doctrine, the full theology of God, who understood he was in the priesthood. He understood everything way better than I ever will, because he was going in, he was the incense, and he was following, and he was blameless. Scripture says he was blameless and righteous. He followed the laws. So he knew, but yet he was the one that was silenced. And I was like, well, God, why? Because Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God, and these things will come in its proper time. That's another thing. We looked at, he's standing in the presence of God, and these things will happen in the proper time. And Zechariah asked these questions, and he was kind of penalized. And I was like, why did that happen to Zechariah, but not to Mary? Because they both asked questions. Well, how? How's this going to take place? And so now I'm really theorizing. Okay, I'm just wondering. As I looked at it, I was like, well, God, well, why did this happen this way? And so I'm just kind of throwing out some things here. As an older man who their family couldn't have kids, they've gone through a life, right? And John, just you talked about your life and the hardships and things that have happened, and Zechariah was like that. He's gone through his life as an older man at the time of his elder time of life. He experienced a lot of things. And we saw that he had pain because they were barren. And this was something that they've been praying for and praying for and praying for. And what happens so many times as people when we pray, and for many years that have go by, what happens to us? Sometimes we become bitter, right? We become, okay, God, you know, I see these people around me. I can just hear it. I can hear it from them. As all these people who are walking away from God, they have children. They have multiple children. We're serving in this priesthood. We go into the Holy of Holies and light incense, and God doesn't even give us a child. Can you hear that? I can hear it, because we're people. And so the course of life for Zechariah could have made him a little bit bitter, could have dried up maybe some of his faith, but he was still very much blameless and righteous, and like Gabriel said, in God's proper time. So as people, so here's a blameless, righteous man who had faith, who was in the priesthood, but had questions and had some doubting, because he doubted what Gabriel said. And Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. This is what's going to happen. It's going to happen in its proper time. And Zechariah, since you're old and craggly, yeah, he didn't say that, but that's what he said. Since you're not believing what this says, boop, you're not going to speak for months. Then you'll see who's in control. Then you'll see. Then it'll bring your faith back. That's kind of where that is. I'm not saying he's old and craggly, but he, I don't know, maybe he was, I don't know. But he had this thing about him that now he was silenced. And you see that happen to Zechariah. But Mary, she found favor with God. And Gabriel came to her, and when she questioned Gabriel, Gabriel didn't silence her. And I wondered why. Why? Well, was it grace? Was it mercy? You know, here's the future mother of Jesus, our Savior, the future mother of Gabriel's boss, right, in the earthly form, and she had a question too. But there was this grace and mercy shown to Mary, and I wondered why. Could it be that Mary, I mean, maybe had a different heart set about her because she did call out and say, whatever, you know, I am your servant. Could it be that Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, knew the hardships that Mary would be enduring? because Mary was, what, 13, 14 years old? Let's say 12 to 14 years old when Gabriel came to her and said, you're going to have a baby out of wedlock because you're a virgin and you're not married. And you're going to tell people this is what happened, and they're not going to believe you. Would you believe them? And if you go into Jesus' brothers, and you know it didn't, people didn't believe her because Jesus' brothers still didn't believe what mom said because they didn't believe Jesus was Jesus, the Savior. So you know, as Mary, who came in comfort, who came in this time with Gabriel, was going to go through some hard times and be ridiculed of this pregnant girl. So there was some grace, but Mary found favor in God's eyes. And so many times, and I think especially in the Protestant church, Catholics do this wonderfully, better in my opinion than the Protestants, of holding Mary to a standard that is to be looked upon. She's not our Lord. She's not anything. We don't pray to her, but it was a servant of God, and they have said and uphold Mary of a place of honor to all women. That place that Mary stepped into, once she met with Gabriel, she said, I am your servant. As you wish is what I will do. Mary, 13, 14, 15-year-old girl, found favor with God, and Gabriel, when questioned, showed grace. She was still young in her faith. And I mean, her faith, boom, grew. But she had to endure hardships. And we know as she traveled and they didn't have much money. And as we get into next week on the Easter story, we know what happens. And we've been over it. And they travel and they didn't have any money. So much so that Mary had to give birth, the hardships we're talking about, had to give birth in a barn. The hardships that were coming to Mary for being that, as we look at it and say, oh, Mary, man, she was demonic. We look back and say, wow, she was blessed. But at the time, she was blessed, but she had to undergo hardships throughout that time where she was carrying Jesus, our Savior, and she was a faithful woman to our Savior. So Gabriel said, nothing is impossible with God. How many times, so Zechariah, through his life, as an older man, questioned and maybe was a little bit bitter, maybe was lacking faith. When on the flip side, we have Mary, a younger girl that was shown grace, who stepped into the position that I am your servant. Whatever you have, Lord, I am your servant. There's this proper time, right? God has this proper time that is set. And he knows, and as we look at where we are as a church, and we look at where we are as a nation, where we look at where we are as a world, there's a proper time that we know the Lord is coming back. We don't know when. It could be 1,000 years. It could be tomorrow. It could be whenever. There's a proper time. People around us, we can't be lack and lacking faith or being discouraged or not reaching out to people because we think things haven't gone our way. There is a woman, she's a soccer player. I read this article and she plays, I guess, on the U.S. team or whatever. I don't follow women's sports. I don't follow sports much at all anymore at all. But I caught this article because the comment she made is just so current, so, and I would say U.S., but it's past the U.S. as a nation. This is the world. Soccer player and one of their champion, maybe you saw this, in her championship match, she, I guess, blew out her Achilles or got injured of some. And she said, "This is proof that there is no God." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" People think they're so great. People think they are so much bigger. And okay, so you play soccer, you make good money, big deal. We, as people, as believers, stand in the presence of God, do we? But God, what? He lives in us. So Gabriel, who said, "I stand in the presence of God." As Christians today, the Holy Spirit indwells, God lives in our heart. So it's really not about us. But we're not even standing in the presence of, but God fills us. As we are around this Christmas season, around this Christmas time, and as we look at this, I just want to say, because I know for me, many times I can be Zechariah, right? I can be like, "God, I've done this for you. I've done this for you. I've done this for you. I've had faith in here. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. I try to do this, and I'm praying for this. How come I don't get this? Well, am I that soccer player? All by myself and not being the proper time? Am I that soccer player? It's about me. It's all about me." Sometimes I am, right? Sometimes we all are. We look at ourselves. We put ourselves in this box that we are our controllers. What's God's proper time? What's God's proper time? Mary, then, on the other hand, says, and when she says, "I am the Lord's servant," because she understood what Gabriel was saying. Nothing is impossible with God. And we as people, how do we reflect that on ourselves right now? Nothing is impossible with God. And sometimes that's a cliche. People say, "Well, nothing's impossible with God as long as I get what I want," right? But in God's proper time, in God's proper time, and we might not ever see it because it's going God's proper time, but nothing is impossible with God. If we see this story, if we see the Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, comes down, and an older couple has who are out of the season of childbearing, boom, all of a sudden she's pregnant, and we know that John the Baptist is going to be born, and he's going to be filled with the Spirit before he's born, and we know that story. Gabriel also comes to Mary and says the same thing. "Mary, you're going to have this baby." And she's like, "How's this going to happen?" Because nothing is impossible with God. My prayer for us here now, for our community, for this church, for all of us, is we need to understand and grab a hold of that in our mind. That nothing is impossible with God. We might not like the timing. We might not like the outcome of things that we think they should be, right? But nothing is impossible with God. And that's what the kind of the road we have to be on. If we can put that mindset, Mary had that mindset. Nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, "I am your servant. So be it, whatever you decide," knowing that her time was going to be rough. Nothing is impossible with God. I can do this. Zechariah met the angel, had a little bit of doubts compared to Mary, and I think part of that was his life positioning of being beat down through life and not just the as we all know. Hey, I'll say it. I know as I get older, sometimes I'm just like, you find yourself less patient. You know, I tell people, I'm like, "What are you, an idiot? Just get out of my way." You know, you find yourself, maybe you're not like that, but I find myself less patient sometimes with people. And do you agree, Justin? Do you think I'm sometimes more? He's laughing at me because I'll be like, "What are you doing?" But I try not to say it to my kids. I try to be loving. But you see it with people. And you know, as you get older, you just get a little bit impatient with people because maybe you've seen it and you understand it and you're just like, okay, you get out of my way. No, we're supposed to understand and continue to live in the faith and the love that Christ is in us that needs to overpower and come through to us, to those around us. Why? For the purpose of that we can lead others to the understanding of who Jesus is. Gabriel said, I stand in the presence of God. We can say, God fills our hearts. That's what we can say. Gabriel will say, things will come true in its proper time. And we can say, yes, Lord, just like Mary, I'm your servant in your proper time. Okay. That we can hold on to that. Because nothing is impossible with God. And we see it through the Christmas story. We see it with John the Baptist. We see when Gabriel came. We see with Jesus. And we see with Jesus' birth. And we'll talk about more of that next week on Christmas. But this week, remember for yourself the things that we think might be impossible. And it's not about money and about not this, but let's say you have family members that they're never going to come to Christ. They're never going to turn to the Lord. Pray for them. Start praying. Nothing is impossible with God. The Spirit that lives within us is God. And there's nothing about us to that. It's about God's power. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, help us to live that way. To understand that nothing is impossible with you. Help us to put our life more onto you and less of ourselves. Help us, if we're young people, to be like Mary, who stepped out and said, I am your servant. She knew life might be hard. She said, I'm your servant. She found favor with you because of her spirit, her love for you. And Lord, even Zechariah, Lord, when we read the story, we know there's some bitterness there, maybe some hardships. Help us as if those that are older, that we can still see the childlike faith, the younger faith like Mary had. And help us to know that nothing is impossible with you. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for 10 families around here. We pray for even more than that. But right now, Lord, we pray for a specific 10 families that you have that will be here to worship with us. Help us to reach people. Help us to just be a loving church to help others and encourage others to come to you and to minister well. In your name we pray. Amen.